You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, check out the all-new BrownsCast podcast. The Cleveland Browns have given Max Linsky, the host of the show, complete access to the organization. He interviews players, coaches, and some less familiar figures who play an integral role in managing the day-to-day business of the organization. It's a whole new way to learn about the Browns. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com, the Browns mobile app, or download BrownsCast from the iTunes store. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm back with you. We're going to get a couple phone calls in before we go around the league. Let's go to John in Virginia. John, how are you? John? No?
I don't think so.
I have to go to Dan in Brooklyn, Brooklyn.
And Dan's not there anymore either.
Well, then, there we go.
That's it.
Neither, nor.
We were waiting for him.
Yes, indeed. All right, let's go around the league, Dino.
Let's do it.
Number one.
All right, guys, as we go around the NFL, should teams / owners be held accountable, fine, suspensions, however you want to put it, when their players mess up, like Greg Hardy, for example?
I would say the answer is no. And my reason behind saying that is, while a team employs that individual, you know, again, based around the freedoms that make up our U.S. Constitution, it's on the individual, and I guess what they do under the umbrella. A team can only do so much, and Nathan, we see that each and every day. The PR staff can only do so much. The coaches can only do so much. These are grown men, you know, who are business professionals, happens to be professional sports, who live lives both in this building and out, and for you to be able to handhold them every second of the day and be held accountable to them for their decisions is a difficult task to do.
It just would be like if any business, would they be with the CEO of a company be responsible for a random crime or transgression that somebody committed that was outside of the scope of their business? You know what I mean? No, of course not. So you can't ask that. Now, if somebody did something in a business structure that was, you know, a business crime, then obviously they would be. But no, I don't think the NFL can be held, ask, you know, teams and owners to be accountable when their players screw up. The players are going to get fined, they're going to get suspended, and the team's going to suffer there. The risk for the team is taking a shot on a guy who you think may or may not have said problems.
Right, you can question Jerry Jones for that. But
right, Jerry Jones is knowing that he's got a guy that is potentially a ticking time bomb that he might have to go with without, or he might have to go without when it actually matters.
And that could affect his bottom line. You know, will someone not come to the football game because they walk a hard line on a guy like Greg Hardy?
Right.
And that takes money right out of Jerry's pocket.
Right. Sorry, Jera.
Jera.
Number two.
All right, so let's go to the AFC South. Andrew Luck, we know, is going to be out 2 to 6 weeks or so. Are the Colts still the front runners to win that division? Or if not, who is?
Nathan and I quickly had this conversation when he announced that, what, it's the kidney laceration or something, whatever it is. I would say yes, simply because they probably have the most talent offensively. But then you look at the division, you go, who's going to compete? Jacksonville's so up and down. I think you look at the Houston Texans, they're up and down. I mean, they're essentially irrelevant. And the Tennessee Titans with Marcus Mariota got a big win this past weekend, but they're not going to put a string of wins together against, you know, any three NFL football teams. So I would say yes, and that's also banking on the fact that Matt Hasselbeck has gone out in replacing Andrew Luck and won the Colts a football game on a very big stage.
Yeah, when you look at it right now, I still think the Colts are in the driver's seat because after Monday night's game, the Colts are on a bye. I expect Houston to lose. So Houston will be 3-6. They'll be a game back. Jacksonville, Tennessee, if they win, will be 3-6.
Right.
I think that division's up for grabs, Matt Hasselbeck and Andrew Luck in there. The Texans have been vastly underachieving. They would seem to have the best roster on paper.
Correct.
But they've lost Arian Foster. They have not played many competitive games.
Nope.
So that it's interesting. Their stats are better than maybe their performance. The one team that I think could get hot, because I like the way they've been playing, is the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know. I would be very surprised if any team out of the AFC South were to win a playoff game this year, other than the Colts, if Andrew Luck is healthy and, you know, he gets hot.
Number three.
All right, let's head up to New England, fellas. Who's the best option to replace Deion Lewis in that Patriot offense?
I mean, it's James White, but I don't think that it there really is. They're not going to replace him, unfortunately for them. They're not going to replace him in that offense.
I think a team like New England, you know, in the way in which they do business from a football standpoint, is they use a piece like Deion Lewis as long as they can. And the way they used Wes Welker in his time there, those little option routes, those short, quick option routes underneath, and they would just beat you over the head with it once they found that matchup. Now that they don't have that matchup, that mismatch problem in Deion Lewis, they kind of go back to business as usual. And that's LeGarrette Blount feeding him inside, the play action off of that inside, you know, tough running game. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't see as much scat-type passing game from the Patriots, even though you'll still get it out of Edelman as well.
Sorry, Nathan.
No, I was just going to say, I think the guy who's ultimately going to replace him in many of the times where they flex him out is going to be Danny Amendola. I don't think it's going to be a running back. Right. It's going to be an amalgamation of people.
A who?
An amalgamation.
Good word.
Thank you.
Yes.
Right. Wait, you should be. Could you win Hannemer's dinner with that word?
If not, you could get the Bruce Hooley ACT award for that.
Thank you.
Yes. Number four. All right, this is kind of an unfair question because we just haven't seen them yet up close, but do you guys think the Pittsburgh Steelers can overcome all these injuries and still make the playoffs this year?
Nate, we had that conversation Monday. I believe yes. I really do, because I think that the injuries, yes, to Le'Veon Bell is for the remainder of the season, but they've got a guy in D'Angelo Williams that's playing great football. As long as Antonio Brown, I think, stays healthy, he's a catalyst. And if they can just buy time and win games without Big Ben the way they did with Mike Vick with Landry Jones and stay in it, they have a shot with Big Ben coming back healthy.
They definitely are a team that could make some noise, and I do think they've got to get through this stretch. They've got, like, this is a game that they have to have if they want to be a playoff team. They've got to be able to beat the Cleveland Browns in Pittsburgh.
Then they go to Seattle, and then a home game against Indy, and then at Cincinnati, then home against Denver, and then at Baltimore, at Cleveland to end the season.
They need this one. I mean, this is a must-have. They've got to have it. This is a must-have. Their third straight home game here. Then they get the bye week. So they've been sleeping in their own beds for a long time, and we know that makes a difference. This is one that they've got to have.
And finally,
number five.
At this midway point of the year, if you guys had votes, who would be your NFL Coach of the Year?
NFL Coach of the Year? I'm going to go two nominees. One is going to be Marvin Lewis with the Cincinnati Bengals. And the other one is going to be Riverboat Ron Rivera with the Carolina Panthers.
I mean, the fact of the matter is the best coach in the NFL is Bill Belichick.
Right.
Yes.
You could give it to him every year.
I'm going
to
throw him out.
That's what I did.
Because, I mean, it's so fun. You watch them go and they play the Jets and they run the ball five times the entire game and then they whoop the Jets. And then they'll go out last week and they'll run the
ball.
Give
LeGarrette Blount 24, 23 carries for 140
yards. He can do whatever
yards,
he needs to do. He'll make sure that he exploits your weaknesses and plans against your strengths to mitigate them. He's absolutely the finest in all the land. But I'm going to go with Riverboat Ron and the Carolina Panthers. Dealt a tough blow losing Kelvin Benjamin early. No matter. They've gone out and they are undefeated.
It's
they've
irrelevant.
Beaten the Packers. They've beaten the Seahawks in Seattle. They've beaten Andrew Luck and the Colts. They are playing legitimate football, and I think that they have done a great job. My honorable mention would go to Bruce Arians.
Let me give you another name. How about Mike Zimmer? Minnesota.
Not there yet.
Minnesota 6-2.
He's got Norv Turner and Theodore. So I can't say that for him.
And the leading rusher in the NFL.
Adrian Peterson. Who's rushed for at least 98 yards now in three straight games. All right, when we come back, final thoughts, including I will let you guys know, one Cleveland Brown made the Pro Football Focus All midseason all pro team on the first team. Only one Cleveland Brown made the midseason all pro team at Pro Football Focus on the first team. There's also one Cleveland Brown on the second team. I will allow you guys to guess who that is, Dino and Matt Wilhelm, and then we'll discuss it and reveal it when we return.